Amen. Well, we're excited to be here today. And although it is Palm Sunday, we know that Jesus is alive. Amen. Do you know that? Amen. Well, if you don't, you're in the right place. Amen. Well, we were up in this weekend in a conference in, Oshawa, in Ottawa. And so we were going to be up this weekend. Tracy came and visit her sister. We kind of knew Pastor was going to be away. We weren't sure. Then as the time got closer, we found out they weren't going to be here. But we're here. We're excited about it. Amen? Amen. Are you excited to be in church? Amen, amen. Yeah, but, that's what I do at my church. Everybody goes, yeah, hallelujah, I'm here. Just hurry up. Come on. I got food burning in my oven. Amen. I'm going to try to condense. I don't mean to do this, but I can speak all day. All day. I never used to be able to do that. I'd be sitting up there. I remember when my pastor in Sarnia asked me to speak the first couple times, I had all my notes written out, and everything was all written out, everything, and I would stand there. I would not look up, and I would read my notes, and I would throw a lot of hallelujah, praise the Lord's in there, and just so it would break it up and make it go a little bit longer, because I read all my notes in about 5 minutes, and that's all I had, so I would read them again. And but we've come a long ways where people get mad at me because I'm too long now. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. That's my brother, yes. So let's give him a big God bless you. Yeah, give my brother a big God bless you. I'm going to ask him to come up and share something. I almost forgot. I asked him to come and share something just to greet you. This is my younger brother by 8 years. I still look young, don't I? Amen. I mean, yeah. But I want him to greet you in the name of the Lord.
Oh, amen. It's an honor to be here this morning. I think the last time I was here was about 4 to 5 years ago. So it's been a while, and I'm excited to be back. When Pastor asked me, "Oh, would you just get up and just share a little something tomorrow morning?" I started thinking about that last night, and I was working on my computer. I like messing around with music and stuff like that. My wife's a singer, so that's our whole ministry. Like we just get to share music a lot. So, and I was just thinking, Lord, what do you want me to share? Pastor told me don't take forever. So, and just a side note, if you want him to move faster, what we learned in our church is when he says, "Can I get an amen?" You say amen. Even, you know, it just helps things move along. But no, I'm just joking. But anyways, I was just thinking about that, and last week I got the opportunity to share at a youth conference in North Bay. And also, this weekend we were at a conference. The two different things I noticed is the hunger for God. And one thing that is missing in the church a lot today is that hunger, is that reverence, is that push for God just to move. This weekend I was in a service where I felt nothing. I felt like I was taking up space in a pew, and that was it. But last week, I think they counted about 300 the first night, and then in our workshops, we had about 200, and I was just blessed that I was asked to teach at those workshops this year. And then that night, they had to get more chairs, 400 people, 400 youth and young adults standing there praising God, shouting out his name, crying for more of him. And I start thinking about that. And when I came in and I seen Palm Sunday, I said, you know, God came for the whole world. He didn't come for the church, the people just in the church. He came for every single one of us. I love how my pastor always says, who in here is a whosoever? Because that's what it says in John 3:16, for whosoever believeth in him. He didn't just come for us, but he came to see this whole world saved. That would glorify him, because that's why we were created, to worship God and to be in communion with God every single day. And I just thought about that. I was reading this scripture in Luke, and it says, if they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. I don't want to be in that situation where God's standing in the middle between a rock and a hard place. I want to God to look at me and say, there's my worshiper. There's my sons. There's my daughters. And I am so happy, so excited to see that they're pushing through, that they're yearning for more of me. And that's what I encourage in these next couple of days, this Easter weekend that's coming up, that we really, truly remember why Christ came. And, you know, I always think about this, is he could have said no. He could have just said, Father, I don't want to do this, because he had a free will. He was on this earth just like you and me, but he chose to do what he was called to do. How many of us today are doing what we're called to do? And I just thought about that, and I thought, that is so awesome that he could have gave that cup up and just said, let it pass. But he said, no, these are my brothers, my sisters, my children. I'm going to give everything for them. And that's an awesome God that we serve this morning. So I just want to share that. That was on my heart. So God bless. And yes, Pastor.
Amen. I had the opportunity to follow Tim up to North Bay last week and listen to him. And right after that part of the meeting, we left because we had Sunday morning service. So I would say I really like listening to him speak, because it's like hearing my greatest hits. And but that gives me great joy, because I know he's listening. And at the same time, he just doesn't share what I share, but he expounds on it. So I share the foundation, then he grows off of it. And that's an awesome thing to hear. And I'd say, don't think you haven't seen the last of him here. Maybe we'll just send him up and say, go share and make a way. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to share something. I did not remember it was Palm Sunday. So please forgive me, but I have something on my heart that we've been really getting seriously into the Word of God and really come into the place where we are hungry. Hungry for a change. Hungry because we see something happening. And I want to share with you today something that I received last weekend. And it wasn't through the Word, but it was through the Word of the Lord. I was, when we were in that worship time, and sometimes it may seem it was going long and long, and Pentecostals really know how to worship God. And a lot of times you want to get close. There's certain people you get close to for certain things. And I just spent time in that time of worship, and there was just a worship going forth, and as taking time and just worshiping the Lord, just basking in His presence. And at that moment, there's time where you just stand there. I just felt just to stand there and listen. A lot of times when we pray, we're going, Father God, this person, and this is our prayer life. This. We need this. We got to do this. Please help me. Amen. And you kind of close the book and you're off. But we come to the place where we have to learn how to listen, because we believe in a God that will answer back. Amen. Muhammad may not answer back. Buddha may not answer back. All these different idols may not answer back, but the great God Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is alive and well. And if you converse with him, if you speak, he will speak back. Amen? He wants to build you up. That's a relationship. When me and Tracy, I kind of like walking down here, if that's all right. When me and Tracy first started building a relationship, I remember sitting in church, and then this new pastor came in, and we met him a couple weeks before, because he came down himself. But all of a sudden, he came and he brought his family. Now, I remember sitting there, and it was like, oh, there's some new girls in the church. That's how young men think. And I think I might as well get attached to one in church. So I'm sitting there, and we kind of, you know, you kind of sit there and you kind of glance over, and then she would glance back, and you would wait for your eyes to lock, and then you would look away. So she's like, oh, she saw me. So you look again, and she looked, and then you glance away. And then all of a sudden, you know, after time, you start looking, and she's looking back. That's an awesome thing when they look back. If not, you're stalking. we don't want to be there. But she would look, and our eyes would meet. And then from there, you know, through friends, because it wasn't a huge, huge youth group, we would talk and things of that. We'd kind of, you know, talk with each other, and then kind of, I don't know how things work out anymore, how we kind of asked each other out. Then we're kind of, oh, yeah, let's, you know, yeah, we can go out, and something like that. And then I remember at my uncle's house, because it was a big food thing. Everybody was meeting there. And how I got her to hold my hand was we started to play thumb war. I remember. We started to play thumb war, and then all of a sudden, we stopped playing thumb war, and our hands were still together. And I can remember that, but that was building a relationship. We started to talk with each other. We started, now we can drive down the road. And I remember one instance, we're driving down the road, and I looked at Tracy. I'm driving, and she's sitting there, and I'm going, I'm thinking in my head something, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and she goes, yeah, you did. And then I just keep on driving. And I think, what did you know what I actually meant? She goes, yeah. Did you lock the door? Yes, you did. I said, yeah. But that relationship, that closeness comes to the place where we are starting to almost, and as I heard it last week, that relationship, you almost morph into each other because we pick up each other's traits. She does things I do, I do things she does, and you almost, you know, because of marriage and you're together with somebody so long, you pick up each other's traits, characteristics, and that's how we should be with Jesus Christ. That we should build that relationship so strong that we commune with him on, he walks with us. He talks with us. And we should be, as we understand the scriptures, we are in him, he is in us, and we are in the Father. But we come to the place where that we are in so much in his word, so much into his presence, that he almost morphs into us. We start to say things he would say. We start to do things he would do because we become like him. Amen? Amen. We start to build that relationship with Christ Jesus. So, with that, he wants to talk to you. So, as I was worshiping, thanking God, praying in the spirit, just worshiping, just feeling that intense presence of God. And in that, which I'm going to share with you today, and part of it is a warning to the church. And I want to share that out of my heart, out of a heart of love. Because there's something I see that is happening, but at the same time, we do it out of love so that we can see everybody else built up, amen? So that you cannot help somebody drowning if you are drowning yourself, but if we can come to the place where we are all walking on the water with Christ Jesus, we are picking people up and taking them with us, amen? Amen. How many believe in the miracle power of Jesus Christ? Amen? How many believe that when we get into the Word of God, God said it, that settles it? Amen? A lot of times we say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, God said it, that settles it, if you believe it or not. It still is the Word of God, and it still is so. So, it don't matter if you believe it or not. It still is. He is the healer. If you don't believe it at all, well, I don't think God heals anymore. I haven't seen so much healing before. It don't matter because he said he is the healer, so he is the healer. Amen? If you believe it or not. There's a lot of people that don't believe in the Word of God, but that does not mean that his Word is any less of power because they don't believe it. No, he said it, and that settles it. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else. You cannot change the people take the Word of God out of context. People try to manipulate the Word of God. They do all these things. But if God said it, that settles it. Now we walk it out by faith and we start to believe it. Amen? We believe what Jesus did on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Amen. So going back to this, I'm going to try to get through this really quickly. So remember, I'm doing this out of love and because I want to see people build up. I want to see powerhouses like never before. Amen? Amen. So I'm worshiping, and God starts to share with me this because I felt such deep, deep pockets of the presence of God. And I'm sitting there with my arms raised, and everybody's just crying out. There's parts in that meeting where people are just crying out, just shouting, just having a time in the presence of God. And I'm just standing there, and probably maybe someone may think I'm kind of weird, but I'm just sitting there. I'm just listening. And God in that time started to share something with me. And he started to share that there are coming waves of glory that will continue to intensify until Jesus comes back. These waves of glory will not be yearly on a yearly basis no longer. It seems like sometimes we may have a pocket, a revival here, a revival here. He says these waves at first will come as a storm, as only I can picture it, as a storm comes. We live right near the water. And when a storm is coming in, these little waves, these ripples come in first. It's just these small amounts of waves come in first. The storm's not even there. But on a violent storm, there comes a mist. And what God said is what you are sensing in this meeting is pockets of that mist. It's almost the glory, the mist of the glory, but the wave has not hit yet. Now, I'm not talking about a tsunami. We can understand what a tsunami is. But these are waves that will gently come into the church all across the world. And these waves will come. And as I'm listening, he says, they will not be on a yearly basis no longer where, like I said, there were just pockets and revivals here and there. No, they will come intensely. And they will come on a monthly basis. It'll be like you're in church and all of a sudden something happens. And man, it's you may be crawling out of church because of the glory of God is so thick. So he says, this will intensify. It will be monthly, 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 and monthly. And from there, I started to listen, and I'm getting excited now. I'm thinking, glory of God, hallelujah. Because I understand the prophecy is that he's coming back for a glorious church. So he's going to do something in the church. So he says, now from monthly, these things will increase weekly. Can you imagine coming to church and every week it just seems like, man, the power is growing and growing. The anointing is so thick, and I'm going to get into this in a moment. But he says, from weekly, from monthly to weekly to daily, you wake up and, you're excited because the anointing is right there. And you know it's just because we're not Christian hoarders. How many know people like to hoard stuff? We like to keep stuff. It's mine, my precious, right? It's mine, us four and no more. Get out of here, everybody else. No, God wants to bless each and every household, even each and every church. He's going to flow in this thing, and as he's sharing with me, it's going to intensify, and it's going to intensify. Now, how many know this is nothing new? But the warning comes when he says to me in my spirit, he says, but the church is not ready. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. What is it? What is it? What is it we need to do? Because there is a preparation. If God gives a warning, he's not saying, I'm going to take you out right now. No, he's warning so that there's a preparation to come to the place where we are elevated to where he needs us to be. How many know Jesus paid it all upon the cross? That we could access it. But if we come to the place where we are not accessing it, receiving from it on a daily basis, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with our communication. There is no more hunger, as we heard. And that's where we are basing our church. I'm pushing people to get hungry for the things of God. The things of God. Get hungry for his presence. Because there's sometimes with 5 minutes in the presence of God can do greater things than 500 sermons. Because it is him. We base all our life, our foundation upon that word of God. We build ourselves up. That's how we communicate with God. We receive from him. But I want to tell you, if we do not flow in the Holy Spirit like we ought to, we need to press in, persevere, and receive all that Christ has paid for. Unless it's still back there 2,000 years ago upon that cross. But he has done something for us. Amen. So I want to talk about this warning that God has put into my spirit. Now, we say this out of love because at the end it's going to get better. Everybody say it's going to get better. Everybody say it's going to get gooder. Amen. That's how I talk. Amen. So in this, we need to understand a few things because when God started to say, my glory is coming, How many know we cannot play with the glory of God? There's some things you just don't play around. Now, we went through a study by the fear of God. How many know what the fear of God is? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not the spirit of fear. Because God gave us the greatest invitation that could ever be given. Draw nigh unto me. And I will, or my will, he says, is to draw nigh unto you. How can you have fear in somebody that you are to have intimacy with? Talking about God. Amen? So, the fear of the Lord is not the spirit of fear. He's not inflicting fear upon you to try to worship him. Sometimes we hear altar calls saying a certain thing. In the altar call, I get so grieved in my spirit because people start to inflict fear on people to come to the altar. I don't like that. That's just me. You know, because I know he's a God of love. They should be attracted to the word and come. So, in that, the fear of the Lord is not something you are scared of, but it gives you great reverence. If the prime minister came in here, some of you probably would give him great reverence. Some of you probably wouldn't. But if he came in here, you would. You would stand to your feet. You would, if a king came in and you're in some type of country, you would bow. You would give him honor. You would give him great reverence. And sometimes those earthly dignitaries get more reverence than we give God reverence in the church. So understanding that, we tremble at his word. If he says something, we cannot be in thoughtful of what man will say, on how man will judge you because of what God has put into your heart to say. You got to say it because I'm more thinking about what God thinks about me more than what man thinks about me. How do we understand that? Ananias and Sapphira. If you don't understand Ananias and Sapphira, you didn't read Acts chapter 4. Because Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, in the dispensation of grace, came to the place where they lied against the Holy Spirit and they died. They died. Now, I didn't do that. I didn't, but it's in the Word. Amen? Why did that happen? Why don't we see that today? Because in the early church, they came to the place where God just poured out the Holy Spirit. In the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord and in one place, and they were receiving, and God poured out the Holy Spirit upon them. And here's the awesome thing about that. When God comes, it's always with a loud, something loud happens. When the devil comes, he sneaks in. And then when they always came to Jesus to be exercised or whatever you call it, to be cast out, they always left with a loud shout. No! Whatever, I don't know. If you watch TV. But it says the Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind. A sound, not actually a mighty rushing wind, but a sound, the Bible says, of a mighty rushing wind. Everybody just think it blown over. No, it sounded, and the sound was so loud that all the people that were part of the Pentecostal feast, they started to come out into the streets wondering what that sound was. Because Jesus arrived with the great sound. The Holy Spirit, arrived with the great sound. How is Jesus coming back? It says he will come back with a shout, right? You heard me share that once before. He's going to break through those clouds and he's coming back with a shout. He's just not going to sneak in there. No, the devil sneaks. The devil came and did all that and messed everything up. But Jesus came and made it all better. Amen. So, Ananias and Sapphira, understand, the sin was found in their heart. It came in their heart because they heard of somebody. Everybody was selling their stuff and giving it to the church. They were selling their stuff and they gave it to the church. They heard of a person that gave all he had. He gave a huge sum of money. So they thought, Ananias and Sapphira thought, they made the choice in their heart, we're going to sell our land and we're going to give it to the church. But when they sold their land, they got a little bit more than what they thought they were going to get. And they thought in their heart, made the decision that we cannot give all of this to the church. So we are going to make it look like we're giving all of it to the church. That was the sin that was down in their heart. Sin is a heart issue. Did you know that? It's a heart issue. It's not the act of sin. That's the law. But even under grace, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if you commit adultery with somebody, he says, if you commit adultery with somebody, he says that was the act in the old, under the law. But even now, under the grace, he says, even if you think about it, you have committed the same sin. So we think it's easier when God made it more to be able to do, but more that we have to follow to get close to him. He's always available. But Ananias and Sapphira, understand this. They thought because they wanted to seem like they were given a lot, they came to the place that their thoughts were more on what people thought about them than what God thought about them. Well, you say, okay, Pastor, that's all right. Well, Adam and Eve. We just did a study on Adam and Eve. I got so excited. But I start to ask, why did Eve get so easily deceived? They walked with God. They spent time with God. But Adam gave Eve the information of we can do all these things. We can eat of every tree except the one. That was the tithe of God's Garden of Eden. But he says we cannot eat of that. But he tells her we can't even touch it. That wasn't the instruction from God. God told Adam, you can't eat of the Garden of Eden. Because if you do, you will surely die. So, he just wanted to make things more descriptive so that she wouldn't go near it. And how many know, men, we got to do that with our women? This is the instruction. Here's a little bit more information. Don't go near it. Because Adam says, it's this woman that you've given me, man. Oh, man, we messed up. Now, I'm going to show you something about that in a moment. Now, I'm not going into the scripture because I'm condensing it. I want you to get it all, okay? So, Eve came to the place where the serpent, the Satan, came up to her and deceived her. How was she so easily deceived? Because I started to look into the Bible and the Holy Spirit started to direct me to some things. And she had no concept of what death was. There was no death in the Garden of Eden. So she said, if I surely but touch it or even eat of it, I surely will not die. Well, that's what the snake, that's what the serpent said. You're not going to die. And she started to think, I don't understand what that is. So she had no conception of death. She had no consequence of death. So she took it and she ate of it. She was doing it out of ignorance, but still it was a sin because God told him not to do it. So now it comes to the place where she gives of Adam. Adam wasn't far off. Adam was there with her. Adam knew better. Okay? Adam got the word directly from God. Do not touch it. But he saw that she did not die. I don't understand what fully death is, but nothing happened to her. So I am going to take of the fruit and I am going to eat it because nothing happened to her. Well, we know the rest of the story. But the thing is, they had no concept of death. Well, today, in today's age, we have no concept of sin. Because we have all heard the scripture, for the wages of sin is death. Right? But how many have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? We have heard all that. But no one has yet died because they sinned. Now, come back to Ananias and Sapphira. This is where the warning comes in. The Holy Spirit was just poured out in such amazing way. The glory of God was so thick. They even had manifestations. They were walking out into the highway, and people thought they were drunk because of the glory of God was so thick upon them. They're speaking in other people's languages that they came from all across the country, and they're hearing the proclamation of Jesus Christ that you know, in their own language, and they're saying, "What is this?" But people, they have no idea what they're saying, but they're just spouting out words. And somebody's going, "What? How does he know my language?" It's all by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit in that first church was so thick. He was introduced in that great glory of God so that sin cannot stand in that glory of God. Can you see that? Maybe far out from what you're used to hearing, but I was a bless me church. But I started to get this because God says, warn, because we need to come from where we are to get to where we need to go. So, what else does he say? He talks about in the end times. How many know we strive for unity? How many know that? We strive for unity because Jesus said, let them all be one. Right? Jesus said that. But in the Bible, in the end times, in the Revelation, it says there will be three types of the church. That's not unity. There will be the cold, the lukewarm, and the hot. So, in that, lukewarm. How many don't want to be lukewarm? What is lukewarm? Lukewarm is where you can blend into the world and nobody knows it, and you can blend into the church and nobody knows it. You can blend into the world, and man, you're like the world, you're like everything, you're just in it, and people will never know that you're a Christian. You could say some things, you could do that, but you'll be blended right into the world. But then you go right into church, and man, you can dance, you can shout, you can jump, you can do whatever the church does, and feel safe. That's lukewarm. If you feel safe and you can blend into both areas, something's wrong. He says, I'd rather you be cold so you know, or you be hot so you know. Don't feel safe because how many ever had eaten something and it didn't agree with your stomach? Anybody? Anybody's like that? Anybody lives in? Yeah. Yeah. What did you do after that? Sometimes... Your body fights it, right? Your body knows. It says, man, we can't take it. There's something wrong with this. We gotta get it out. And what does your body do? It goes, and it tenses up, and it increases. And then all of a sudden, you know, not to get so graphic, but you throw that stuff up. We all been there. Amen? Amen. We all been there. And I know all about projectile vomiting. Amen? How many know about that? How many have children? We all know. They warned me they're going to leave, so they're not leaving because of the word. Don't get condemnational. Do not judge the brother. I'm just kidding. We come to the place. I got to get a drink. Are you okay with this? Is this all right? A little bit? It's going to get better, I told you. Tell you, I'm not that old, but I'm going old school. Amen? Anyway, we come to the place where now that thing, lukewarmness, vomits it up. And I started to look at that word vomit. And who is God talking about? How many know we are living in that day right now? Turn with me. Let's go to a scripture because you got to look your eyes on it. Put your eyes on it. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to start reading for the sake of time as you're turning there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean. Now, these are seven churches. You can look at these churches and see that these are the churches throughout the ages. The first church has really is flowing into the first church. But today, I believe this is from the study we've received and the things we've heard, and as I read it and get into my spirit, this is the church we are living in right now. Now, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things saying, Amen, the faithful and true witness and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, this does not fully 100% mean things. This is, I don't need any more. I don't need to progress anymore in God. I do not need to hear anymore. I don't need not to grow. I don't need to pray as I need to. I don't need to be hungry for God. I have it made. I got it all. There's nothing else I need. Now, He comes to the place because we just read, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Now, he wants you hot because we understand where he's going with that. But he goes on to say, at the end of the chapter, he said, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then after this, chapter 4, after this, I looked up and behold, the door opened and in heaven, the first voice which I heard as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which he said, come up hither. And I will show thee things that you must hereafter. Understand, how is Jesus coming back? He's coming back with a shout. And he's bringing the church up. Right? We are seeing something in this last church here in chapter 3 where Jesus comes back in chapter 4 and he's calling us up. So we are living in such a day where he is so close to being revealed on this earth. Amen? Are you excited about Jesus' return, or are you just going to live life, I heard that back in the 50s, I heard that back in the 70s, I heard that back in the 60s, in the 80s, yeah, I heard that last week, nothing's happened. I want to tell you, time is getting short. This is why a warning goes out that we must go and share the word of God and see people built up. Because here's another thing I started to look at the end, the very last chapter of the word of God, Revelation chapter 22, he says, and boldly I come quickly, this is 22:12, he says, behold, I come with my reward to give the man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do my commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in, what's that mean? Enter into heaven. That they may enter into heaven, and that they may enter through the gates of the city. Because those that are without, those that cannot enter in, are dogs, are sorcerers, are whoremongers, are murderers, idolaters, and those that love it to make a lie. Well, that can be really talking about the sinner. That's why we come and we tell people, you know, get your life right. We minister to the sinners, but he's really not talking to the sinner outside of Christ. He's talking because verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to the churches. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. He says, these things will not, well, you say, well, I don't really tell lies anymore. I understand that. You know, I corrected my life. I don't do that much anymore. Well, you say, well, I idolatry, you know, I'm not that. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a whoremonger. He goes, I'm not a sorcerer, but maybe you're a dog. I'm not talking about a 4-foot pawed animal. I'm talking about, as Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. We cannot keep coming back, saying, God, forgive me, because we come to the place where if we keep on saying, God, forgive me, and going back, God, forgive me, going back, God, forgive me, going back, God, it then becomes lip service, and it's not in the heart. Because God will move upon the heart so that you will not be tempted again. I don't want to go back into that old life. I don't want to go back into that place. But a dog will keep on returning. How many do not want to be in that position where God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you? How many know God cannot lie? So how can he say the words, I never knew you? These are all in the Bible. I'm just sharing these out of the Word of God, because this is the day and age we're living in. Now, that's the warning. Can I give you the good stuff now? Everybody, oh, please. that don't sound good. No, it don't sound good. That's why God says he's a holy God. That's why we reverence him. That's why we want to do. We may fall, but we get back up, and I don't want to go back to that place again. Amen? When you love somebody, you don't want to disapprove, have anything between you. But you want to do your all to build the relationship. Okay? Now, can I give you the good stuff? You say, oh, Pastor, oh, Brother Murray, you know, that don't sound very good. I tell you, that's where we are. That's what's happening in the church. People go sin. I'm not talking just a little sin. They have it in their mind. They can go do whatever they want and come back to church and do and get, you know, and everything's going to be all right. They'll go back out and come back in, do whatever they want in the world and come back in. That's lukewarm. We cannot live a life of a lukewarm Christian. Amen? Now, here's the thing I want to share with you before we get to really the good stuff. How many know, and I know I'm taking some time. Will you give me 10 more minutes? Oh, almost 15 minutes. I'll let you out. It's going to get gooder. Everybody say it's going to get gooder. Please believe me, it's going to get gooder. See, we don't want to live that type of life, but that's what's happening to the church. As I was praying, as God says, the Bible says there will be coming a separation, a falling away. But he tells me in my spirit, he says, but you will not see, they're not going to get up and leave the church. They'll still be sitting in the church and there will be a separation. That's powerful stuff. When God says this, my heart aches and I want to see people get. I don't want to come with here with enticing words of man's wisdom. I want to come with the demonstration of the Spirit of God so people will see there is a real God and he loves you. Amen? That's what it's about. And so that you get built up so you can help somebody else. That's what I say the gospel is always about. It's just not about me, what I can get, what I can receive, and how far can I go. But if I get built up, I build somebody else up so they can build up and build somebody else up. Because there is always somebody outside that is waiting for you to outreach to them. But how many know God does not make bad deals? He don't make bad purchases. He's a very economic type of God. So, how many know his son, Jesus Christ, is his most prized possession? We're talking about Palm Sunday now. Okay? Jesus Christ is God's most prized possession. He would have not given to him to just anybody because he highly values Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, with that, we come to the place where how valuable are you? Okay? Because we just said Jesus Christ, or God would not have given Jesus Christ, he's not a bad deal maker. So he would not have given, okay, I got to give you the analogy first, okay? You would not go buy a car that was valued at $5,000 and go pay $10,000 for it, right? No, that's a bad deal. Nobody would do that. You look at it and go, no, I can't pay that much. But, you know, the car dealer doesn't really care about what's good for you. He just wants to get your money and give you something. See? But as God has come and says, God does not make a bad deal. So how valuable are you to God? Remember, it pains God when a saint goes home to be with God. I'm going to tell you why in a moment. He values you so much that if you were any less than what he valued Jesus, he would not have given Jesus for you. Do you get that? If he valued you any less than what he values Jesus, he would not. If you were 1 cent less valuable than what he values Jesus, he wouldn't give Jesus to you, for you. Can you get that? But because he sees you valuable as much as Jesus, equally or even more, he has given Jesus to you to really build you, pick you back up, redeem you, restore you. And when I start to get into this word of God, I start to get excited because when I start to read prophecy and I know that Jesus came to build us up, that the glory of God is coming in such an extreme way because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, I start to read my Bible and I start to see that prophecy has not all been fully fulfilled. But my Bible says the end. Okay? Everybody see that? I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says the end. But here's the thing that God showed me, and I get excited about it all the time, is that, hey, prophecy has not been 100% fulfilled yet. So this book is just not a historical book. This book has not been written and finished and just lays upon the shelf. But this book, this word, this living word is still in operation today. You, today, we are living amidst this word yet because it is not finished. The end is not yet. We are still living within the pages of this book. And this is so awesome that there is still time. There are loved ones you may have that may not know Christ Jesus. There is still time. There are those all around you in your workplace that don't know Jesus. There is still time. Amen? That's what it's about. The warning is, get my church ready so that it comes to the place where it will be an impact on this world. Why? Here's what God really showed me with the I got all these glory scriptures here. And it says, here's what God shared with me, because I see it in operation in meetings. He says, so the priest could not stand to minister because of the glory cloud, the glory that was that filled the house of the Lord. And as I got to that, the Holy Spirit started to minister. He says, as people come in, they're going to just fall out under the power of God. There are those that will not be able to stand the power of God. But when they came to receive Jesus, it said the troop came to receive Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That word troop is really anywhere from 300 to 600 men came to receive Jesus, come to take him. I mean, this is an army that came to give Jesus. And they said, where is Jesus? And Jesus stood up, and really what he did was reveal the Father. Remember, God says to Moses, tell him that I am sent you. What did Jesus say? They said, where is this Jesus of Nazareth? He stood up and he says, I am him. What did happen? He revealed the glory of the Father to them. And it says the entire troop could not stand the glory of God. And they all fell backwards. Anywhere from 300 to 600 men. That's power. Amen? That's power. I mean, who's going to function while the glory is so thick? Everybody's laying on the floor, but there needs to be people who will be able to function amidst the glory of God. I see this in modern day preachers. You see people all fall out, but you see a Benny Hinn standing where everybody else has fallen. Why? He learned how to function in the glory. You see, in times past, you see these ministers who will be standing, who will be able to function. They get poured on as much as everybody else, and you see them wobble around under the glory, but still they are functioning under the glory of God, because we need people who will function in that glory. Oh, I love Swiss Wigglesworth, where he's walking down the aisle of a streetcar, and a man turns around and falls on his face and says, man, I don't know what it is about you, but you convict me of my sin. And we find out later that was a Catholic priest. What was it about Smith Wigglesworth? It was the anointing, the presence of God upon him. That where he walked, it was Peter walking the streets. It wasn't Peter's shadow that really was the doctrine. I mean, we don't lay people on the floor right here just so my shadow can go over them. No, it was the presence of God. The glory is going to continue and grow stronger and stronger. This is why he says in the Word of God, it says that the latter will be greater than the former. And there's scriptures that will say he will send the latter and the former in the first month. We understand what that means, talking about Jerusalem, but he wouldn't have put it in there if you were not supposed to read it. So we apply that to when he is coming back for a glorious church, and I tell you, I will be glorified. Amen? I'm not going to be Jesus or anything. I'll be walking in his glory, in other words. Will you? Will you? He's going to pour it out. And in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The glory will come so strong that the word of God will come so real that we don't want to be to the place where for the wages of sin is death, because it will come because the glory is so strong. But we must walk in the blood, in
that total forgiveness of Christ Jesus, that we just don't give it lip service. We just don't say, yeah, that's something. I'll just show up and take my place in a pew. You know, I've told you many times before, many times people come to the pew and they do time. Amen? People do time in jail, and they get excited when they're out. Woo, let's go. I'm out of jail. I'm going to go back, do what I need to do, and they're gone out of jail. Well, I'm going to put a camera outside the back, because when I let you go from church today, you're probably going to go, woo, let's go eat wherever. Amen? I did my time today. I tell my church all the time. I'm speaking to you like family. This is how I am at church. They put up with me, but we're going somewhere. I can sense. People walk in and they tell me, I just walk in and I just sense all, everything just lift up. I don't know what it is. And these are not saved people. People are coming with addiction problems and saying, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I says, well, you came to the right place, because I know one who can set you free. And if the Son can set you free, you will be free indeed. Amen? I know about the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. It annihilates. In other words, you cannot put it back together. Amen. So when I start to get into the Word of God, I, because of the love of God, the love that says, I don't want to see anybody perish. Nobody should. Nobody should have that mentality that, hey, I don't really like that person, so I don't care if they go to hell or not. No, I want to come to the place where I do not want to see anybody perish. That's why we give the Word of God. The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the soon comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the good news. Amen? Amen. How many times does it take? We need to come to the place once and for all and say, God, change me. I'm done. I'm just wrecked. That old life, I don't want to be a dog no more. Keep returning back to that same old sin. Understanding what sin is just a disobedience to what God has said. Disobedience in your heart. Eve disobeyed. Adam and Eve disobeyed. Ananias and Sapphira disobeyed. That's all that sin is. It's not the act, but it's the charge of your heart. Today, this is Palm Sunday. Today, Jesus paid a tremendous price for each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. Because he values you. That he would take those stripes upon his back. He would be praying in that Garden of Gethsemane and knowing what was about to take place. And that stress would be just so consuming him. It would be so pressure on him that he would that people will say that much stress would just pour. It would burst blood vessels. And that's why he started to sweat blood, the pressure of the world upon his shoulders. But he didn't give up. He went to the cross with all the beating, and he's on the cross, and one translation says he was unrecognizable upon men. It said his back even looked like hamburger meat, if you know what that is. But he stood there on that cross, paid the price that no man could pay. So that you could be free. So that you could have life. I'm going to end with this. And I said I'd be 10 minutes. One more minute. You know I'm a preacher. The devil don't care if you go to heaven or hell. Did you know that? The devil does not care if you go to heaven or hell. He tries to get people to do what he does so that he can influence other people on the earth. But his main objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care who you are. He just wants you off the earth. If you're born again, he just wants you off the earth to go to heaven. He don't care
Why does he not care? Why? Because the authority that you have. The authority that you have. Why doesn't he care of a sinner that he wants them off? Because they are potential authority to have him under their feet. You have authority to have the devil under your feet through Christ Jesus. But a sinner is a potential one to have authority. That's why he doesn't care. He just wants you off the earth so he can do what he wants to do. But how many know Jesus came to save you? That you can have life and have it abundantly. Amen? Amen? You can have life and have it abundantly. I know this may have you say, oh, this doesn't feel very good. But I want to tell you, at the end of it all, at the end of it all, you are still the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, going over and not under, because of who is on the inside of you, greater is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Amen? That means we can get excited again in church, because I'm not here just going through the motions, but I am here to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not here just because it's just another day. I'm here because of the passion and what he has done for me. He loves me, so I'm here giving him my all, loving him back. Can you sense that anointing? It's time. The warning has been gone out. And it understand this. It's always been there. It's always been there. I didn't create this Bible. I didn't rewrite this Bible. It's always been there. But I want to share with you this. We are still in the midst of these pages. That's the awesomeness. We're still there. It's not done yet. It's not finished. Amen. Doesn't that should give you great joy. It's not finished. Amen. Come on. I don't just jump for anybody. I jump for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But the warning is, my church is not ready. It's time that we take his word. We believe it, because he said it. It settles it. No other. And I come to the place of my... The passion is, I want more. I'm hungry for more things of God. Why? Because the more I receive, the more I can give. What you freely receive, you can freely give. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh. Whew. God is going to do something awesome. And I want to be right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I told you I could go forever. But I'm not here just blowing my own horn. I'm not here to build up Pastor Murray. I'm not here of any other reason to say Jesus is here for you. He died for you. We are going into such a season where we remember the price Jesus paid. We are coming to the place of great love. Hear me? It's great love. But we are coming to a place where it is serious. One minister says, we got to stop laughing and playing and start fasting and praying. Church will become the greatest place on earth because of the presence of God. Nations, governments will look to seek counsel from those who are born again, because this end time is going to be so chaotic. How many know the Bible says that it's not going to get any better? The Bible doesn't say that. But for the believer, we said last night, we said about something, a friend of ours who was preaching somewhere, he said, oh, is he gonna rock the boat? And then my brother says, yep, he'll probably tip it.
And I says, then we'll see who sinks, who treads, or who walks on water. Because that's cold, lukewarm, and hot. Where do you want to be with Christ Jesus? See, I always have the mentality, I want to be right in the middle, because if I'm right in the middle, I can help somebody else. That's what it's all about. I get to the place where I'm built up, but then I just don't keep it for myself. I give it. What you freely receive, you freely give. Amen? Amen. The blessing of the Lord is so, so phenomenal that God created us to expand Eden upon this earth, to multiply, subdue, have dominion. That's what he created you to do, to create Eden and spread it all across this entire earth. So, I want to tell you that you are highly favored of God. Did you know that? God loves you so much, he gave his son for you. He would not have given Jesus to you if you were a cent less than what he valued Jesus. But because he prices you, values you so great, he gave his only begotten son, his most prized possession, for you. And as we come to Palm Sunday, we start to recognize what Jesus has done for us. But he just didn't do it for us. He's with us. He didn't call you to do anything great for him. He called you to do something great with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Where will you be situated when Jesus comes back? Where will your life be?